It's time once again for Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 5 years has shared with us her extensive research into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. Her program relates the news of the week to emerging evidence about the conspiracy which allegedly maintains by force its control over the legislative, executive, and judicial processes in America. And now, Mae Brussel.
Good afternoon. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's Dialogue Conspiracy number 223, and it's June 28, 1976. I received two excellent books today in the mail that I will pass the titles to you, and if I read the address too fast, you can write to me at my home here in Carmel or Box 3904 at KLRB. One book is called Mormons, Spies, Hughes, Howard Hughes, that means, and the CIA, written by Mr. and Mrs. Tanner. The box is 1884 Salt Lake City, Utah, area code 84100, an excellent dynamite book on Mormons, Spies, Hughes, and the CIA. Another book I received was Death at Chappaquiddick by Richard Tedrow and Thomas Tedrow, published by Green Hills Publishers, Incorporated, Box 738, Ottawa, Illinois, 61350, 895. I don't have the price, I forgot to write it down, of Tanner's book. The one on Chappaquiddick, the latest on Chappaquiddick, is $8.95. Copies of these shows, Dialogue Conspiracy, are available if you write to me, $4 plus postage for the reel-to-reel tapes, or $4 plus postage for the tape cassettes. You write again to my home or to Carmel, California, and I do have people that will dub them off now for you. Well, we had a hot week in Carmel. I survived it somehow. It was unusually warm for our area. And the best thing to do in a case like that is give up and not exert your energies too much. I couldn't type, but I did stretch out and read a book which was first on my list among 20 or 30 new books which I have ready to get through. It's called A Man Called Intrepid by William Stevenson, Stevenson, and it's about William Stevenson, spelt with a P-H, Stephenson, published by Harcourt Brace and Jovanovich, 1976. The man called Intrepid, William Stevenson, was head of British intelligence throughout World War II. And it's a fascinating book. He worked with Mr. Donovan and Alan Dulles of our CIA, and then later with Reinhard Gehlen, the chief of intelligence for Hitler's Eastern Division. They all formed an organization or heads after World War II. And I was very anxious to see this account of Mr. William Stevenson because his name runs through various documents that I've read. And hopefully next week I'll try to devote the entire program or most of it to my conclusions about The Man Called Intrepid and the comparisons to our intelligence apparatus in the United States to that in Nazi Germany. I think it's important to study history, study these agents. The book Reinhard Gehlen, Spy of the Century, written by Mr. Kukerich, comes out very clearly and says that our Central Intelligence Agency gave Hitler's chief of intelligence $200 million after World War II to form his own branch of our CIA using his agents behind the Iron Curtain. And therefore, a lot of the parallels that we're having in this country and the way we behave to other countries are not a figment of imagination or coincidence. I believe that they're a chronicle of simply goods delivered. The expertise that these people had was incorporated into our military-industrial complex, and this $200 million that was given to Gehlen was put to what some people consider good use. Some people think it's not such good use. I think it's diabolical. But we have used Gehlen and his agents, and this book is a terribly important book on the background of Stevenson and the comparison of the intelligence operations that took place in World War II and what's happening, as I say, domestically. Midnight Magazine, or newspaper, whatever you want to call it, it comes out every 2 weeks. You can get it in our local area in the Safeway or in liquor stores, newsstands around the country. I just broke with my story that I've been waiting a few weeks to come out, the Oswald and the U2. I received a lot of calls today from people in New York. It's sale in New York, at least, that far away. It'll be here soon, within a few days. The Oswald and U2 is well-timed. I believe the publication of this article is well timed on the heels of the new investigation of the Senate into the intelligence activities of Lee Harvey Oswald. And I am glad that there's another view of history, I believe the most accurate view of history. Senator Schweiker, was on national television trying to pull a Lee Harvey Oswald Cuban connection, which we'll go into during this time period. But you have now on the stands and in the news two versions of history on the JFK assassination. One are my allegations that Oswald was the selected patsy of the CIA, who was framed because of his work with the Central Intelligence Agency and made to take the blame that he was linked to Castro Cubans in regard to the John Kennedy assassination. And then you have the new information coming out of the Senate committee about links of so-called Cubans to Lee Harvey Oswald. My article on the YouTube goes into the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald was an agent of the CIA that was sent to Russia for the purpose of spying, that he worked at the Minsk radio factory and played an important role in downing the U-2 plane, that President Eisenhower wanted a summit meeting with Premier Nikita Khrushchev, that he ordered all spy planes going at an altitude of over 68,000 feet and not visible to the human eye or Russian instruments not to fly for the weeks preceding the meetings, that Premier Khrushchev had been to Camp David with Eisenhower, and Eisenhower was now going to Paris to continue the peace talks. It was a lengthy period after the World War and Cold War. Eisenhower wanted to go down as a man of peace. Prior to the peace summit meetings, Gary Powers was flown over Russia directly against over presidential orders. Very clearly stated, don't fly. Gary Powers was ordered to fly, and he was brought down over the Soviet soil. He wasn't shot down. He was very much alive and unharmed. Rudolf Abel, a convicted Russian spy, who was arrested in this country shortly before Gary Powers went down, was detained in a prison in Georgia. And as soon as Gary Powers was down, within 6 days, a New York newspaper had suggestions that Abel be transferred with newly arrested Gary Powers. The exchange took 1 year, a little over a year. Gary Powers had a trial, and then he was exchanged for Rudolf Abel. The attorney for Rudolf Abel was none other than Wild Bill Donovan from U.S. Intelligence, who formed our original OSS and went on to form the CIA with Alan Dulles and the same General Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's agent. And this marriage of American and Nazi spies melded together, and it's my allegation in that article that Lee Harvey Oswald's cohorts in the Soviet Union were Gehlen agents and not Russian spies of the KGB. They were disguised maybe as KGB, but they were CIA intelligence agents working with the Gehlen operation. Gary Powers came home. He wasn't punished. He was taken to a very nice safe house in Virginia or Maryland where there were servants and comforts, and he stayed with his wife, and he was given $50,000 cash after being brought down in the Soviet Union, and he also was given very secretly a commendation of the highest merit from the CIA when he returned from the Soviet Union. Instead of kicking his ass for what he did and breaking the presidential orders and not obeying orders, or he was supposed to have been given certain orders on destroying himself or the plane, he didn't destroy himself or the plane, and he got $50,000 cash and then secured another job with Lockheed in Los Angeles, the same company that made the U-2 plane, the original manufacturers. Dick Russell, a writer on various research projects, has done an article in the Village Voice this last week, June 21st, 1976, which goes into the Cuban connections, the anti-Castro Cuban connections to Lee Harvey Oswald. And the timing of my midnight article, as I say, is perfect on the heels of Senate Intelligence Report by Richard Schweiker and Gary Hart. But Dick Russell also has in the Village Voice quotations from a man who worked in the Central Intelligence Agency at the time Lee Harvey Oswald was there. And the name of this article in The Voice is titled, Cubans Connected to JFK Murder, But Which Cubans? And the Dick Russell article, of course, is opposed to the kind of material that Senator Schweiker was throwing out on television about the Castro Cubans and Lee Harvey Oswald. The Village Voice quotes this Robert Morrow, who wrote a book called Betrayal. You may want to get it. It's on in the bookstores now, or you can order it, Betrayal by Robert Morrow. These are some quotations of Robert Murrow. He said, while in Europe working for the CIA, Murrow said that the CIA had him pick up an envelope in Paris from an American just returned from an extended tour of the Soviet Union. The envelope, he was told, was with information wanted from Harvey that had been secreted out of Minsk. Now, Harvey was the middle name of Lee Harvey Oswald. A year later, according to Murrow, he was told by Mr. Cavell, who was one of the heads of the CIA, a director there and planner of the Bay of Pigs operation, that Mr. Cavell and a gentleman named Kendricks knew that Harvey was a CIA agent who went to Russia, posed as a defector, and participated in an internal security operation. Oswald was to make contact with the niece of a KGB colonel, according to Murrow, and arranged to get her out of Russia as a precondition for her uncle's defection to the West. Now, where it says KGB, I insert Galen, agent, that we were not, the CIA was not working with any person in the KGB, and Marina Oswald's family were white Russian, part of the elite aristocracy before the communists took over, and her uncle, I'm positive, was not an active, even though his overt role was KGB, there was more to the story. Now, to support what Mr. Murrow said in his book, Betrayal, or in the article in the Village Voice, what Dick Russell said, there are the memos I have of Isaac Don Levine, who worked with Richard Nixon in the House Internal Security Committee, who worked with Whitaker Chambers in the case against Alger Hiss, who worked with Marina Oswald as soon as Lee Harvey Oswald was killed, and the Warren Commission meetings mentioned John J. McCloy said Levine is trying to get a communist story out of the assassination with Marina. It was Isaac Don Levine who went to the Warren Commission and wanted to bring out of the Soviet Union the daughters of Mr. Zeiger, who worked at the radio factory with Oswald. But he also mentioned to the Warren Commission that Marina and Lee had smuggled letters out of the Soviet Union, and the CIA knew about these, and they had to do with getting people out of Russia, which confirms what Mr. Murrow was saying, what Dick Russell was saying in The Voice, that the Oswalds were bringing messages out from the Soviet Union. They were planning to get certain persons from the Soviet Union. Their affiliations were with the Central Intelligence Agency, and they were not active. There was no KGB operation except as a front, so that this person probably could get out alive. The problem with getting information of this kind disseminated to the major media is that there's so many agents still working inside the CIA or were on the payroll of the CIA and aren't now, that they will not carry the stories about Oswald's link to the American intelligence community. It makes good headlines all over the country to talk about Lee Harvey Oswald knowing somebody in Cuba who then flew on to see Castro. That will make the headlines, even though the documentation has not confirmed. Even the Senator Schweiker said that it was hearsay evidence, it was not hard evidence, and yet he has press conferences and writes this up in his report. But the links of Oswald and Marina to the CIA are continuously suppressed, and the major media will not carry these articles at all. There was an article this week in the newspaper that said the CIA will stop hiring newsmen because recent investigations showed that they had so many reporters and stringers for the American news on their payrolls. And there was a meeting of news agencies with the CIA and with Mr. Bush of the CIA just last week in New York City. And the purpose of the meeting wasn't to seek the names of individuals who may have been employed by the CIA in the past. These names are still kept secret from us, so we don't know whether Mr. Cronkite or Dan Rather or which men were on the CIA or are still allied to them secretly. These names are protected from us, so we still can't get what kind of newsman is really telling us our evening news. But there's no way the CIA is going to stop influencing our news. And a perfect way, a perfectly good example to show you is the contrast with what came out this week in the news of Senator Richard Swiker's report and the CIA still having control of our news media. Senator Richard Swiker said that the Senate Intelligence Committee investigating the John Kennedy assassination had documents that were suppressed earlier. And one of these documents that I will mention quite a few times was about the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, Nicholas Katzenbach, who wrote a letter to Bill Moyer, President Lyndon Johnson's assistant. And Katzenbach sent this letter as soon as it was shortly before the Warren Commission was formed and after Kennedy was killed. It was dated December the 9th, and he made two points. He said, first, the public has to be satisfied that Oswald was the assassin. This is December the 9th. And that he didn't have any Confederates who are in large. The public must be satisfied that he didn't have Confederates and that the evidence is such that he would have been convicted at trial. This is a memo from Katz and back to Moyer. The second point, he said, is that there's speculation about Oswald's motivation that has to be cut off, and we have to have some basis to rebut the speculation that there was a communist conspiracy or, as the Iron Curtain press said, a right-wing conspiracy. So before the Warren Commission was even appointed, this was before the men were assembled, and before their investigation was underway, the Attorney General, under Robert Kennedy, who was still grieving his brother's death, the Deputy Attorney General, then sent a letter to every member of the newly appointed Warren Commission, and he recommended that they immediately have a press statement stating that the FBI report clearly shows there was no conspiracy and that Oswald was the lone killer. Now, Katzenbach works for the Justice Department, and he has to send this to Bill Moyer, who's the instrument, to put to rest that Oswald was the assassin, there was no conspiracy, and then the evidence has to support the allegations before any investigation is done. So the responsibility falls to Bill Moyer. Well, Katzenbach obviously delivered the message to Moyer. It was addressed to him, so he assumed that he received it. But who was the instrument? Who was Moyer? You read about Lyndon Johnson at the time of the assassination. He put three men around him. He said, I need you. He said to one of these three men, be in Dallas tomorrow. I need you. When it was time to leave Dallas, he told another aide, he called people around him and said, get Jack Valenti. Bill Moyer, Clifton Carter, and Jack Valenti are the three people that encircled Lyndon Johnson almost immediately from the time John Kennedy was killed. Clifton Carter is a wealthy oilman who was at Parkland Hospital with Lyndon Johnson and delivered an important piece of evidence in this murder of a president and the shooting of Connally, who was governor at the time of Texas. He delivered John Connally's clothing to Congressman Henry Gonzalez for safekeeping, which is another subject in itself. Jack Valenti went on to be motion picture czar of the whole United States, a very profitable job after he left Lyndon Johnson. His qualification for that job at the time was, he said, he never saw a bad movie. And then there was Bill Moyer. Well, in a book, Who's Who in the CIA, on page 373, you get a little biography of Bill Moyer. Not only did the historian, Mr. Winokur, come from the CIA, and the people that worked with Lee Harvey Oswald in the Soviet Union, and the agent that worked with Marina Oswald, Mr. McVicker, all of them listed in Who's Who in the CIA that was published in Eastern Europe. But we have Bill Moyer, born 1934, worked as a propagandist for the Central Intelligence Agency from 52 to 59. From 59 to 61, he was the advisor to a U.S. senator and to the vice president of the United States. And then from 61 to 63, director of public affairs and advisor to the Peace Corps. And it was this Bill Moyer from the Central Intelligence Agency who was the direct aide of Lyndon Johnson. As soon as the assassination took place, he surrounded and worked with Lyndon Johnson. And he was the one who received the memo from Katzenbach. And that was where the cover-up began in those early stages as soon as John Kennedy was killed. The person who did the assassination was named. Everything, piece of evidence related to this assassination had to fit into the Lee Harvey Oswald category. But the cover doesn't end there. We read in 1976 that the CIA isn't going to have any more newsmen in the Central Intelligence Agency. Yet, this week, I have an article just here from the New York Times. Bill Moyer has now been assigned to CBS as an anchor man for CBS Reports. Bill Moyer passed himself off as a great liberal on KQED, as his little folksy journals, and he would interview poets and Mr. Carter and various personalities through the year. It's been a very homespun Bill Moyer journal. He won some awards from it. And I watched him one night talking to a gentleman from the South, a poet, who was talking in the course of the conversation very lightly. Some subject about the assassination came up, and he says, well, you know, that's just like Lee Harvey Oswald did. And it's a very subtle thing that every generation, every person watching television gets retold that Oswald was his assassin when he didn't kill John Kennedy at all, and there's no piece of hard evidence, physical evidence, bullets, weapons, fingerprints, palm prints, to link Lee Harvey Oswald to the killing of John Kennedy. And yet, through some very intimate conversations of Bill Moyer, the old folksy guy at home, working for public television, he's now anchorman at the CBS. So the CIA may say, no, we don't have any more reporters. We don't have any stringers. Who are the past CIA, and how much in these strategic positions can they limit not only their guests, but what their guests have to say, and so that the television continues its stories with its one-sided version of American history, and these people have their cover in Who's Who in the CIA, but they move on up, like all the other giants, up to CBS or NBC or the National Broadcasting, whatever. But Moyer is now anchorman for the CIA special reports. And we're told the same week that the CIA is not in the news media business. On the day of the assassination of John Kennedy, J. Edgar Hoover originally directed his FBI offices to have conduct an urgent investigation of possible conspiracies. This is as soon as John Kennedy was killed. But the very next day, according to the new Senate report that just came out, according to new documents, the very next day, J. Edgar Hoover rescinded that order, and he told the FBI to concentrate on any information that could involve Lee Harvey Oswald. One reason you can understand that Lee Harvey Oswald was selected as the patsy is to go back to the assassination attempt November the 1st at the football stadium in Chicago where John Kennedy was supposed to attend the football game. It was November the 1st, and the football game was called off because John Kennedy was in Washington. Diem had been murdered in South Vietnam, and there'd been this, several people murdered there, and Kennedy couldn't get to the football game. So a man was arrested, a Mr. Valley, who had an automobile, and it was registered to a Lee Harvey Oswald with a New York license, and Lee Harvey Oswald doesn't drive a car. So you can see how early in the game or how long it was planned that Lee Harvey Oswald would be the patsy for this particular assassination, because they already had an Oswald in Chicago 3 weeks earlier. And therefore, one day after John Kennedy was killed, the FBI gave an order, concentrate on Lee Harvey Oswald. A U.S. ambassador in Mexico City contacted Richard Helms of the CIA, who was then deputy director for plans, and he said, why don't you investigate? Oswald was supposed to have been at the Cuban embassy and at the Russian embassy in Mexico. And Richard Helms sent back a message to Mr. Mann. This is the quote, we could well create a flap with Cubans which could have serious repercussions. So that Mann says, I got instructions to drop the investigation. Now, the important thing is that Richard Helms could be giving instructions to cut off the investigation in Mexico, not because he was doing Castro any favor. That doesn't even seem reasonable. John Kennedy had pulled away from the Bay of Pigs, embarrassed the CIA, wanted to tear the CIA to shreds. So it'd be more natural the CIA to say, uh-huh, you protected his life, and this is what you get. Now he's killed you, and it shows that you shouldn't have been so kind to Castro. It would have been perfectly logical for Mr. Cabell to plan the Bay of Pigs invasion, or Richard Nixon, who helped plan that, or E. Howard Hunt, and all the various Cubans, anti-Castro Cubans, who planned that invasion that were furious at John Kennedy. It would have been to their advantage to link the assassination of John Kennedy to the Cuban community. And believe me, they would have done it, because they scrounged through hundreds and hundreds of pages trying to find a motive for Lee Harvey Oswald, and there's no reason to believe that they would have protected Castro and the Cubans. It stands more to reason that Thomas Mann, the U.S. ambassador, was told by Mr. Helms of the CIA, we could well create a flap with Cubans which could have serious repercussions, meaning the anti-Castro Cubans, because there was a two-month period down there in Mexico when E. Howard Hunt, who was working with the Domestic Operations Division of the CIA and with Alan Dulles, was down in Mexico. There was a two-month period where many of the people that were later to be found at Dealey Plaza were in Mexico. There were connections of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to their Nazi links going way back to World War II, Nazi sympathizers with America, and immigration of Nazis to Central and Latin America, and the funding through Mexico, the CIA money coming out through Mexico that was going on during the Kennedy assassination and was caught at the time of the Watergate. The same urgency came into not investigating the Mexican money at the time of the Watergate, and Gerald Ford was used then to stop that investigation that would create a flap. He was sent to the Wright-Patman Committee to stop investigation into the Mexican money. So the reason to stop the investigation in Mexico when John Kennedy was killed by Richard Helms of the Central Intelligence Agency has more to do with 101 links to the FBI agents and the agents from the Defense Intelligence Agency that were linked to the Kennedy assassination than to Cubans. And so while Thomas Mann, the ambassador, didn't understand that, Mr. Richard Helms did. And now, 12, 13 years later almost, the Schweiker Committee is trying to put a Cuban connection to the John Kennedy assassination. Almost immediately after this assassination, we have J. Edgar Hoover, the Justice Department, and the White House exerting pressure on all the FBI officials to complete their investigation and issue a factual supporting report on the conclusion that Oswald was the lone assassin. And from the very beginning, this investigation focused on Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, that's the best part to come out of the Schweiker report. That is the good part about it, that for the very first time, and this has been 12 and a half years, the Senate committee and the national news media have acknowledged and proven that there are memos from both the FBI director of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI, the Deputy Attorney General Nicholas Katzenbach, and the investigative agents were told, limit your work. Oswald was the assassin. Oswald didn't have any accomplices and no conspiracy involved. The importance of studying this history and reiterating it is the same thing happened when Robert Kennedy was killed, when Martin Luther King was killed, when George Wallace was shot. I remember when Ramsey Clark got on the air. In fact, it was like Face the Nation or Meet the Press the Sunday after Martin Luther King was killed. And he said, there's a lone assassin, there's no conspiracy. And Ramsey Clark is that so-called darling of the liberals now, who at that time was the attorney general who smeared Jim Garrison's trial in New Orleans, who gives his cover as, I say, this sympathetic liberal at this point, but it's a turncoat kind of thing, like this Bill Moyer posture. At the time, Ramsey Clark played a very important role. National TV saying there was no conspiracy when Martin Luther King was killed, and even though the moderators aren't very intelligent, and sometimes they're deaf and dumb, and other times absolutely stupid on these Sunday talk shows, one of them did say on this particular show to Ramsey Clark, how do you know there was no conspiracy when you don't even have a suspect? And I imagine, I forget how the cut was at that time, it probably said, our time is up now. Next week we'll have so-and-so, and we don't get the answer. But one man was intelligent enough to ask the question, how can you put our minds to ease when you don't even have any idea who shot Martin Luther King? The most important point about the Schweiker Committee, which I think is very, very dangerous, is even though they tell us that they stopped the investigations, that Lee Harvey Oswald was to be centered there, that the committee tries to tell you that there is new evidence now to open up the investigation and that the old evidence didn't support a new investigation in the beginning. And this is totally false. The destruction of John Kennedy's car, the burning of the autopsy papers, the clinging of John Connally's clothing, the thermofaxing of Oswald's CIA papers, the calling off of the Mexican connections, the not investigating Albert Osborne, who ran a school for assassins in Mexico, who accompanied Lee Harvey Oswald on a bus to Mexico. All of this was available to the Warren Commission. All of this, and the danger now is that they're saying, oh, we have these two documents. A man flew out of Texas and went to Mexico where a plane waited and took him to Cuba, which has no weight compared to the actual physical destruction of evidence plus the existing evidence to show the links of Lee Harvey Oswald to the intelligence community. The important things about Schweiker's report, I have a list of about 10 important items, which I'll go into with you. Number one, what's bad about it is that they want to pin the assassination of President Kennedy on pro-Castro forces. They're kicking another Cold War policy down. There's a very good reason for it. Just like I said, they broke the Entente when Khrushchev and Eisenhower wanted peace. There's a chance that Jimmy Carter could be elected and stop some of this nonsense that's going on, turning countries against each other, as he says. He seems to have a good foreign policy, or at least it's sounding good. But Castro is a symbol to a lot of people in Latin America, South America, like in Chile, Brazil, Guatemala, Argentina, where military dictatorships exist, where torture exists, where terror exists, where there's exploitation of minerals and commodities and slave labor, and our bananas and fruits and minerals are coming from there. Castro is a small man. He's a symbol, like a David against the giant Goliath. And it's a symbol that irritates us because Vietnam could bring the mighty United States government down to call off their war and meet them at certain terms with them. So there is this effort to stamp him out. And if they couldn't kill him after many tries because he had loyal people around him, the next step is to discredit him. And then the next step is to blame him for the death of the President of the United States. This is the intimations that the emphasis is going to be at the Schweiker Report, and they're holding on to some feeble pieces of documentation that could even be planted or rewritten. And the emphasis is that pro-Castro forces killed Kennedy. Even a Conrad cartoon in the Los Angeles Times yesterday has a picture of a long rifle like the Mannlicher Carcano, and it says JFK and Castro, and it says a smoldering gun with the suggestion that the rifle that killed Kennedy is behind the Castro, is behind killing Kennedy. So Conrad, who's always very funny, gets non-funny, buys the Schweiker Report, and already has Castro's gun killing John Kennedy. Another point about Senator Richard Schweiker is that he isn't using any of the information of the intelligence community or the CIA or the FBI, holding back the links, which they were supposed to investigate, of Oswald to the intelligence community. They asked him on Face the Nation, did the FBI or CIA hold back any documents you wanted? He said, no, they didn't hold back anything we asked for. They were cooperative. But the catch-22, or the catch, is he didn't ask them for a document in the archives titled Lee Harvey Oswald's Access to the U-2. Now, did the Warren Commission use that, or was that just locked up? And if they were supposed to be investigating what the FBI or CIA didn't give the Warren Commission, why didn't they go into the relationship of Ruth and Michael Payne, or George and Jean de Morenschild, or Lydia Dimitrik, or the U-2 flight and Lee Harvey Oswald? In other words, Schweiker didn't use any of the links of Oswald to the Central Intelligence Agency, the Minsk Radio Factory. I sent them all that information. I sent them details. I get a form letter back, and then they use these two miserable documents about Oswald knowing a man who left Dallas when Oswald was arrested and then flew to Cuba. That doesn't even mean that Lee Harvey Oswald even knew he was going to fly to Cuba. Another point is that on Face the Nation, Schweiker said, as a Republican, he had been a long friend of Gerald Ford. He had been a supporter of him. He talked about it on television. And his whole attitude in his investigation of the John Kennedy assassination for the Senate this time is to protect Gerald Ford. They continuously say new evidence not presented to the Warren Commission is now available. And that gets Gerald Ford off the hook because he was on the Warren Commission. And he's running for re-election this year. And the Warren Commission knew from the beginning, from the very first meeting, and Gerald Ford knew from the very first meeting, that Oswald had contacts with the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI. He wrote about the FBI in his book, The Portrait of the Assassin. He left out the CIA part. So what Schweiker is doing is tantamount to saying the Warren Report did the best it could with what it had, but the CIA and the FBI held back information from the Warren Commission. If I could use slang or foul language on the air, which I have been pretty good about not doing in 5.5 years, I would have an answer for that. But I guess the most I can say at this point is it's just bull crap, and it just isn't true that the Warren Commission didn't have every reason to know in the 26 volumes of material which they printed. They only made 8,000 copies for 200 million people in America, but within those volumes is all the evidence you need to link Lee Harvey Oswald to the intelligence community, and also to know that he was a patsy in this whole operation. Another point about the Schweiker Committee is that they're making the Warren Commission heroes. The big story now they're trying to pass off is that the reason the FBI and CIA and the President, the White House, didn't disclose the link of Castro to the killing of John Kennedy is that he might have retaliated and 200 million people would be dead. And we're alive today. We owe our life, gratefully, you can just say a little prayer tonight. You owe your life to the Warren Commission, because by their not telling you that Castro killed John Kennedy, then Russia didn't have to go into a war with us to defend Castro and these accusations, and that they kept us out of war by not exposing those naughty Cubans killing John Kennedy. I just don't believe this rationale will sell even in Peoria. If they say it enough, like Hitler's big lie, it might. I don't know what the American people will buy. But the American hero is now the member of the Warren Commission who saved us. Remember, Earl Warren didn't want the job heading the Warren Commission, and then finally came out and said he did it, that as commander-in-chief, the president told him, if so many millions of people were killed, would you do it? You have to serve your country. And he took the job. And now we're going to be told that we would go to war over that matter. And I doubt very seriously if we would have gone to war over that matter. As a matter of fact, at the time John Kennedy was killed, he was working with people from the Castro government in trying to arrange a détente and get along with them following the Bay of Pigs debacle, which was called off. And there's no indication that Fidel Castro was angry at John Kennedy at all, and that he wouldn't have gotten along after the elections. In 64, Castro and Kennedy could have gotten along and coexisted. Another point is that the Schweiker report evades every fact about the homicide of John Kennedy and goes under the conclusion that Oswald worked with Cubans. Oswald didn't own that rifle. He didn't fire the rifle November 22, 63. That rifle was planted in the Texas School Book Depository. He didn't have a marksmanship ability to shoot that rifle. The rifle was defective. The scope was defective. Oswald said he was a patsy. And they go on to the conclusion, well, if Oswald didn't do it alone, he had Cuban assistance. If you conspiracy researchers want to say there was a conspiracy, we'll go into a conspiracy, but it was Cuban. And they go on the assumption that Oswald worked with Cubans before going to the fact of whether or not Oswald killed anybody. Because in a court of law, or with all the existing evidence, there's no way that Lee Harvey Oswald could be found to have shot John Kennedy based upon autopsy reports, photographic evidence, fingerprints, powder prints, and that kind of evidence used to solve an ordinary homicide. Another point that Mr. Schweiker does, getting candidate Gerald Ford off the hook because of his monumental cover-up, and he did write this book on the mind of the assassin. It was a bad book. Is it by saying we have to take another look into Oswald's motives, because Lee Harvey Oswald's motives were relegated to Gerald Ford, who Jim Garrison, the district attorney of New Orleans, described as the best friend the CIA ever had in Congress. It was Gerald Ford who was to write a book on Lee Harvey Oswald's motives based upon a lot of misinformation supplied by central intelligence agencies, selected witnesses, known perjurers, members of the Solidaris, the white Russian community, to smear Oswald. And if the book is an error, a factual error, from the word one, page one, to 350, or however long it is, you have to say, well, how would Gerald Ford, the President of the United States, write such a bad book? So Senator Richard Schweiker, friend of Gerald Ford, protecting the President, is identical to Senator U. Scott, protecting Richard Nixon, defending him. At the time of the Watergate, he comes out and says that there's all this new evidence, and therefore that makes Ford not part of a cover-up, because it's new evidence that Ford didn't know when he wrote his book. It just came out recently that Senator U. Scott was given $10,000 a year for past 10 years or so by Gulf Oil, secret cash, clandestine money. So it seems that he also was paid well for his protecting people like Richard Nixon from the very beginning of Watergate, and earlier than that, he had funds coming in under the table from the Gulf Oil. So here we have Mr. Schweiker, friend of Gerald Ford's, telling us that new information is important, and that protects the book of Gerald Ford, whereas the book wasn't based on investigative research to begin with. And Senator Inouye has been relegated to inherit the new investigations when the Senate committee meets. There's a new Senate Intelligence Committee headed by Senator Inouye, who has assembled a group appointed by members of Congress to look into illegal domestic intelligence activities. Anyway, worked on the Watergate cover-up. He was part of the Senate Select Committee of the Watergate. When they closed shop, and they had a mandate to investigate the entire Watergate, they closed shop, and at the time, the head of the committee, Senator Baker, and also Lowell Weicker and other members of the committee, said that they had touched the tip of the iceberg. That's how thorough they were, how courageous they were. They hadn't touched the money of Howard Hughes or a lot of money that was in the desk of Rosemary Woods or B.B. Rebozo or Mr. Caulfield or Mr. Kalmbach or Tony Lasowitz or these various agents. Senator Inouye was part of the Senate Select Committee that was a part of the Watergate cover-up. So Mr. Schweiker has asked that when they get formed 6 months from now, they look into the Warren Report. So that's the third way that he protects his friend Gerald Ford. What happens from 6 months from now? The elections are over. And again, remember the Warren Commission, Gerald Ford, they're trying to prolong the investigation of the John Kennedy assassination, and hopefully it won't even get started until a committee is appointed 6 months from now. And if Ronald Reagan or Gerald Ford are in office, you can imagine that the John Kennedy assassination will not be pursued with any more effort than, say, the Watergate or the past committees that have opened and closed. We are having a hot potato that's been handed, well, first the Warren Commission, which is a total failure, and then after Watergate broke, the Watergate Committee didn't have the courage to make the links from Watergate to Dallas. They didn't have... The mandate was for the elections of 1972, but they could have conveniently thrown in the links of Dallas to Watergate that were evident at that time. And then there was the Rockefeller Committee and Senator Church's Committee and Representative Pike's Committee. And then the subcommittee was Senator Schweiker and Gary Hart. And now it's the hot potato goes to Senator Inouye, and we begin our sixth or seventh investigation into the matter. Incidentally, Jimmy Carter has come out and stated, I understand, I haven't read in the press, but I believe it was Mark Lane who told Ted Gandolfo in Los Angeles who told me that Jimmy Carter has come out and said that if he's elected president, he will open up all political assassinations in the United States, that all evidence will be above board, that there's no place in our society for assassinations, and there is no place for this kind of behavior in America. As compared to Ronald Reagan, who said on the Rockefeller Committee that we should not disclose information on political assassinations, and when we disclose it, we're doing a disservice, that people have only what they need to know is what they should be told. That's Ronald Reagan. And we know where Gerald Ford stands on this, having been on the Warren Commission and appointing Ronald Reagan to the Rockefeller Committee, and David Bellin from the Warren Commission as head investigator for the Rockefeller Committee. I think it's important to do one whole day, or maybe several days, on Jimmy Carter, because more and more I'm reading every word he's saying, reading who his advisors are. It is an election year, and for researchers like myself throughout the country, he's the only shining light, and he is a shining light. Believe me, a year ago, I didn't believe there would be a candidate in America who would say that if he were elected president, he would open up these terrible assassinations. And I want to give you a lot of information on Jimmy Carter, just like I want to go into the book, A Man Called Intrepid. These things are important. I hope we have time to do them at length. The Schweiker Committee reported that the CIA and FBI failed to provide the Warren Commission with evidence that might have substantially affected the course of the investigation into whether there was a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. This is totally false. The CIA and FBI might have failed to provide the Warren Commission with some evidence that there was a conspiracy. But the fact is that the 26 volumes that were printed and the Warren Report have ample evidence, hard evidence, that there was a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. And the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI, even in their ranks, had people who provided us with facts and information on these killings. And it is documented and available. And the problem was that members of the Warren Commission did a complete whitewash of their own volition. They had a choice to drop out, and they didn't. And they had a choice not to sign it, and they signed it. And one of those members of the Warren Commission is running for president. And the point is that there was plenty of evidence that a conspiracy existed. And we don't need new evidence to come out. We can stick with the old evidence. It's good enough. There's no longer any reason to believe that they shouldn't open the John Kennedy assassination based on the old evidence, which the news media, the CIA news media, has suppressed from us. The combination of the CIA news media and the appointment of these select committees is what's holding up the investigation. Well, it looks like the time is over again. Have a good week. We're getting close to that weekend of the 4th. Anything can happen. Stay well, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I feel really nervous about that weekend and the weeks to come before the election, so we have to use our psychic energy and keep Mr. Carter alive and hope that certain forces in this country behave themselves and don't pull some more assassinations or violences like they have in the past. Well, have a good holiday, and I'll see you after the bicentennial. Take care and have a good time. Bye-bye for next week.
This has been Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for many years has been researching the facts behind political assassinations and conspiracies in this country. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KLRB-FM in Carmel, California.